Call the February public safety meeting to order. If we could stand for the pledge, and we'll have Nick lead us.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to just start out thanking everyone for being here this morning. It's great to see this many people here. If you want to, we need approval of the minutes from January 5th and January 28th.
Motion.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any comments or questions or changes? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Carries. All right, Noel, you are up.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
I submitted the Diversion Annual Report Friday afternoon. Are there any questions in regards to the report that I submitted?
I didn't have any questions at all, but I do thank you for that. It's nice to see how that works and what the towns receive. And go ahead.
Can you just explain to the new legislators what the diversion program is?
Absolutely. The diversion program was established about I want to say 6 or 7 years ago, and we've gone through a couple changes through the program. What the diversion program is it gives an opportunity for people who are issued a citation or traffic ticket to apply for diversion, which is they pay a fee and then they attend a 6-hour driver safety class, and the 6-hour driver safety class plus the fee eliminates the ticket. As if they didn't get the ticket issued. So there's no points assessed to their driver's license affecting any of their insurance. Plus, they receive the educational benefit of, I believe, 10% on most insurance for up to 2 years. And the county then receives just under 73% of the money comes to back to the county from the fees, and 27 goes back to the municipalities. Which is similar to what they would receive from the state if the state fees were applied. Yes, sir.
So that the local justice or court clerk that enrolls in the DD program.
No, when we I joke around about this because when I first established this program under District Attorney Baker, we thought the fees that we would collect would be about $25,000 a year. And I started it on an Excel spreadsheet because I was like, well, that's not too bad. I was at $25,000 within like 30, 40 days. It just so we actually now have we've developed a program enough that we pay a company, a third party vendor who has expertise in this. The applicant applies online. We also now do all of our reductions through that application process, which saves time with our staff in regards to we have one clerk that handles all traffic matters in the county, part-time clerk. So we do most of it online. They can do a manual or a handwritten application, but it's much easier just to do it online.
And Noel, am I correct? At the end of the driver diversion program, the local town justice gets a basically a certification that they did it, and then the judge just signs off on it.
Yeah, that's we send them an automated email through the system. The traffic clerk does it. She sends that they've completed the diversion program, and then the judge the tickets
That's how your
withdrawn.
local knows that it was taken care of.
So the towns that aren't listed, they just didn't have any traffic violations in there.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, that was the grand totals. 146,000 plus change went to the municipalities. Am I correct?
Yes, those municipalities listed on the front. Correct.
Yeah, and part of that, like Noel said, does go to pay for the contractor to manage that, actually a good portion of that. And then we do retain others to offset costs in the DA's office. We have the law enforcement grant program that's funded. So those are the remaining.
You
go ahead, Scott.
Do you remember what last year, I'm sorry, 2024's total amount was?
Yes,
compared to this 541,000?
Yes, it's decreased about $90,000. And I can attribute that. I spoke with Brooks about that. And that probably simply is two things. One is the staffing that's currently at the state police level in regards to the interstate. And two is the implementation of the cameras. For every traffic stop, any police officer has to treat that as an incident in contact with the community. And they have to file that procedure, whether it's an assault or a traffic ticket. So less officers on the road, also probably less time patrolling the streets in regards to, because of the implementation of cameras and discovery.
Yeah, I would think as the proponent of the program, you would be saying it's because we have so many people taking this training course that it's starting to pay off. We would like to see this go down to zero because everyone would be trained and not breaking any vehicle traffic laws.
Yes, I think it is working well with the local community, but because we have an interstate, and yes.
All right. Jack said you had one off agenda item too. Go ahead.
I do. I just also would like to seek permission from PS&C. The if you haven't heard or seen in the Facebook postings and stuff, there's been some things, changes in the New York State traffic code in regards to points being allotted to lesser violations within the traffic system. Our diversion system doesn't cover some of those lower offenses, because we just let them, like the traffic equipment offenses, we have them listed. I would just like to go back in those systems and kind of look at those and maybe incorporate a few more of those in, so that we are starting to take care of some of those tickets that are now being a point assessable at the court level. If that's okay with the, I mean, I don't know if that has to go to vote or.
So. Oh, sorry. Looking at it, if the board wants to, is certainly fine. Tim and I were just chatting. We'd have to review if the local law needs to be changed. But if it's just, you don't even need a motion. If it's an understanding that Noel and the DA's office is going to look at it and bring it back for discussion, then that's fine.
Yeah, I think if you can get more people through the program, you know, that they don't get points on their license, I think it's good for both sides. And I don't know what the committee thinks, but if you want to look into it, come up with a list of what you think we should add to it, work with Tim. I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I just didn't want to put resources to it and then not.
Yep.
I think it's going to be beneficial. I've sat in a couple traffic meetings, and I had actually had one local justice say that coming down from 7th Jiu-Jitsu, excuse me, my throat, the 7th Court, they've told local magistrates that they're really, when someone says, if I plead guilty to this, how many points will I receive? They've been told that they're not supposed to talk about points at all. That's either a plea or not a plea. The points aren't supposed to come into that. And that's really not fair to, in my opinion, the applicants that possibly could receive diversion if they're, you know, could get into the program.
And that is true. I was right at the magistrate's meeting when they said that the judges are not supposed to say how many points. It's either guilty or not guilty.
So
yeah.
And that's what diversion's meant for, to help those people. my last item is I want to request to encumber some money from the 2025 budget. We had some money set aside for firearms as well as optics. And because the sheriff's office was implementing their new firearms and optics, we wanted to wait until they had purchased their firearms and optics, just to make sure that we would be on the same page. Just unfortunately, we ran out of time last year to get on the range with the sheriff's office, the sheriff's department instructors, and to test their optics. So what I'm asking for is just to encumber the $4,950 for the optics and the firearms, and we will implement those this year. Some of my officers are interested. Some of my investigators are interested in optics, and others aren't because of the roles and the capacities that they carry those firearms in.
So you're looking for a motion to just encumber that money into the 2026 year?
Yes, $4,950.
I'll move it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Go ahead, Scott.
Was there not any money in the 2026 budget already for it?
I did not transfer it. It was an oversight on my part.
Okay.
So I did not transfer it. And I was just going to write it out for the 2027 budget, but a couple of my officers did talk to me, and I thought, well, and I spoke with Chris about it, and we were like, well, we can ask to encumber it. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. All right. Thank you, Noel.
Lastly, is there anything you would like to see next year on the report that I did not include? More of a breakdown of anything, just so I can make notes of it for next year?
I thought it was very detailed. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Morning, Tim.
Good morning. I just have one item for you this morning. That is our credentialing system for our fire and EMS folks. We need to update the contract with Linstar, who's the vendor. This is a software and equipment maintenance contract. It's a two-year agreement for $5,840. And we'll pay for this out of Homeland Security grant funds.
Second.
Right, we have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Anything else for me?
I don't know.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. How are we coming on the ambulance in the Southern Tier? Where are we with that now?
So we've, in the southern part of the county, looks like Addison stepped up a little bit and has started filling some of their responses. Your certificate of need for your ambulance came back last week, so they're back up and running. And we're still waiting to hear on Jasper. We're still continuing to meet with administration, lay out a plan on where we want to go and how we want to lay things out and go from there. Okay. So, and speaking of that, the letters went out for the certificate of need, went to all the municipalities. There was some emails back and forth in regards to that. So the certificate of need, when we first started into the EMS world, we got what they call a temporary operating authority. We have 2 years to do a permanent operating authority. So as part of that, there's a lot more documentation to the permanent municipal CON that has to be done. Part of that is letters of support from local jurisdictions, basically encouraging or, you know, speaking against what we're trying to do. So far, the response has been very positive. The areas such as Hornell and Corning that, you know, we don't typically see response to has been supportive in basically sending letters, stating they understand what we're trying to do, supplemental ambulance service to the rural areas of the county so that we can try to keep their resources back home so that they can respond to calls within their own jurisdiction. Because what was happening before was we didn't have any services there. Volunteers couldn't get out the door. Now we're pulling ambulances out of Hornell or ambulances out of Corning to go down into, you know, the southern end of the county to respond to calls. And now that we're down there, we're providing that service, a lot less mutual aid that they have to provide in that area. So the letters have been all pretty much encouraging and supportive, and we're just gathering the rest of the packet that needs to go together. That goes to the regional council in March. So the Southern Tier Regional Council gets that in March. There's a whole process that goes through for public hearing, comment period, things like that. And then from there, it goes up to the state for final approval. We don't anticipate any issues with it. Everything seems to be in line. And we're showing need by the number of calls that we've been running. So last year we ran close to, I think our request for services was close to 2,000 calls for the year. And I think transport wise, I think we were around over 1,500 or more transports for the year. So we're showing the need. It's I don't anticipate any problems with that.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, Tim, are we continuing to work towards 24/7 service out of Woodhull?
Again, something that Jack in our office has been working on, trying to determine, you know, the best way to lay that plan out.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right. Thanks, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't think I talked to Nate. I don't think there was anything from personnel. Go ahead, Jack, with the animal cruelty.
Sure, and Tim will tag in on this since he was the fantastic author of it. This was an idea that the chair brought to us after noticing some other counties have done this as well. Actually, I just saw Livingston County pass theirs last week. This is a model. It is like the pawn shop local laws that this board has done 10, 15 years ago. There are some areas where you do have the discretion to get involved, pass a local law to regulate these certain things because the state does not. In this case, we have the ability. So if Tim drafted a local law based on some of the other counties, I think it looks good. He worked with the sheriff's office. I don't know if anything you...
It's copied over. Somebody, you know, why remake it? Some other city or town has done the same thing. So I don't want to take credit for that. I will take credit for the modification. My contact with the sheriff was, though, he sent me an email and said, hey, look, you are some of these convictions might be expunged after 3 years, some misdemeanor convictions. So you got people on the list for 7 years or 5 years or some period of time. There's another county that did 20 years. So you're on the list for 20 years, which is quite a long time, which is kind of overkill, but some period of time. My only concern with that was it can be tested. It's severable. So anything in that law, every section could be checked and balanced. And if it's struck down that, hey, 7 years is too long or somebody needs to come off the list because their conviction was expunged, we'll modify that, or the court can modify it. I don't know that it's been tested in the 7 or 20 or 30 of the 62 counties. You can go online, and there's an online New York State site that clicks down to all the counties that have the law and see. I mean, they take pictures. They're on the site like a sex offender. No question. So if it hasn't been challenged yet, I haven't seen anything that's been challenged. It probably is going to hold, but I like the 7 year. I don't like the 20. I don't like 3, but if it's expunged, we're going to definitely have to take a look. And I don't know what the other counties are doing, but if we're getting clean slate actions and one of these is one of those list of convictions is a clean slate thing, they're going to probably have to come off the list. It's going to take some cooperation with the sheriff's department as the sex offender. They're going to be the ones that sort of administratively handle it after you all pass it, if you're interested in passing it. So
what was the sheriff's reaction to it?
The only question he had was the years. So I didn't have a, no, we can't do this, or this isn't going to be, who's going to administer it? Well, the sheriff's department in every county is the one that administers it.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah. My question is, does the sheriff have the staffing to deal with this?
I'm sure they do. I mean, if they need I can't imagine we need a animal cruelty administrator, but it's sort of a duty. If you give them the duty, you're the legislator. He'll have to, unfortunately. Yes.
Tim, just for clarification, I know you got down here the 7 years. We put down the 7 years. This isn't it's not an animal abuser law. It's a registry law. Am I correct? I mean, right. We already have laws.
Not changing anything.
So basically, in Corning, someone gets arrested for abuse of an animal. It'll be up to the Corning Police Department to relay that information to our prosecuting or the head of the registry, which is going to be our sheriff. Am I correct?
No, it's not even going to get to that point until there's a full conviction. So you're going to need a full conviction to get on the registry.
But once the conviction takes place, then it's up to the sheriff to get that name of the person.
Right.
And then we start following some of the laws here, such as 5 days later, got a report and all that stuff.
It's actually a requirement of the individual who's convicted, but the sheriff's office will have to ensure that if there's a conviction, that individual does register.
And it's up to the law enforcement agencies, wherever they are throughout the county, to let the sheriff know.
Sure.
I like it.
One odd part was that even if you if I'm on the registry and you want to transfer an animal to me, you got it. You're responsible for looking on the registry now that we have it to make sure that the recipient's not on the registry, which is a little onerous, but that's what the point of the law is. It's a rational basis that you don't want animal abusers to have animals. Perfect. If you got a conviction and the list is out there, you got to expect that the citizens are looking at that list.
And you've listed
it's very mandatory that they do.
And you've listed very clearly if any violations of certain parts of the law take place.
Right.
What the penalties are.
It's not everything. Yeah.
I think it's a great law.
Go ahead, Ms. Shannon.
Can you put your microphone on?
Beg your pardon. Thank you. There's a section about clipping and cutting of the dog's ears. Would that also include docking of the tails?
If you want to change that, I mean, it's domestic animals. Right. It's not livestock.
Right. Of course.
Go ahead, Scott.
Does anyone have any guess on how many animal abuse convictions occur in Steuben County over a year?
I'm sure we could find that.
I don't look at the court dockets, but looking at arrests and, certainly our contract with SPCA where the sheriff's office is involved, I'd say 10 and under.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think there was that much of it. And also, take this as you will, the Amish community, the Mennonite community, there's a lot of claims that animals are abused there. How are these people even going to know they need to sign up for a registry?
How are we going to communicate this law? It's a good point. We can work with the sheriff's office, maybe even public health. Sometimes they get involved in, communicating with the Amish community for the vaccination clinics they have for animals and those sort of things. I don't know how much they participate, but public health has a long history of communicating with that community as well. Probably pamphlets. Probably going to have to print something.
Because taking that, Scott, on the opposite side, what my concern was is, if you're on the registry, you're on the registry. But if I'm Amish and it's my obligation to make sure you're not on the list, how am I supposed to see that list to make sure I'm selling Scott a dog that Scott's name's not on the list?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. We can work with the sheriff's office on that, on messaging and how, that communication would happen.
Go ahead, Nick.
Can this be expanded into livestock as well?
It's risky. I'm not sure it's gone that far yet.
Like 15 or 20 years ago now when I was involved in that 86 horse rescue, and that lady should never have an animal ever again. And then also, so what's a potbelly pig? Is it livestock or is it a pet?
Yeah, we'd have to take a look, and I haven't seen a county delve into that. The ag and markets laws vary sometimes between domestic animals and, as you know, and livestock. We'd have to take a look. I haven't seen anything.
I have not.
I think ag and markets.
Pig is breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
I think ag and markets kind of does their own thing when it comes to livestock.
Yeah.
Because the lady in Woodhull that Nick's talking about, when her sentence came from ag and markets, it had a, like, she couldn't own a horse for 12 years or something. It was right in the.
Good point.
As far as the Amish community is concerned, as far as taking care of their horses and stuff, these people are going to take care of them, because if they don't, it's Shoe Leather Express, because that's their transportation. So, I mean, to do anything, to haul a tree out of the woods or something for firewood, I mean, so they might get tangled up in dogs or something, but as far as domestic animals, I mean, farm animals, they pretty much really take care of them.
They make their living with them.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. And they're going to take care of them.
But I think the problem with that community is the public perception of how they treat their animals, maintain their animals, is always different than how they see it.
Exactly.
And I can tell you from my own private business, they take care of them. You know what I mean? I do a lot of dental work on Amish horses. I mean, a lot of it.
So what's our next?
So if this committee is interested in passing it along to the board for presentation of the local law, you'd need a motion.
So motion is to present it to the full board.
Yes, I'll move it.
All right.
I'll second it.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Are there any other questions?
If you folks decided you had different things you were going to talk about, are you going to work those out before you present it to the full legislature or not? Because you were talking about whether it's trimming ears or whether it's trimming tails, you know.
So I guess the question for the committee right now is if you are comfortable with the local law as drafted to present, which can always be amended, or if you want to send it, not necessarily table it, but if you want research into that, or if you have
a question. I mean, several things are brought up. So.
I think the way it's written, it would take basically farm animals away. This would be just
domestic
animals, right. You know? So I think that takes that part out. Cause I think if you get into the farm animals, then you got to go through ag and markets. That's a whole nother, but as far as the tails and ears and stuff, that's up to the committee, or we can send it like it is to the full legislator and have the discussion there.
And you can always amend it later too.
I mean,
move in.
The point is that it's actually a registry of the convictions that are listed in the law. So it's kind of an odd. It's already been checked once. That's the law that they violated. They've been convicted. Now this law is the registration. So you could modify the list of convictions that would be registerable at any point in time would probably be your better bet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So does your motion still stand to send it to the full legislator?
As it is. Yep.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you. Do no other business from my end for open session, but do we have a need for an executive session relative to employment history of a particular individual?
Is that the same person?
Yeah.
I have no business.
No moved.
All right. Hold on. We're going to – we have new business here before we go to executive. Yep. Go ahead,
Joe. Up to me. I want to make a proposal. I'd like to make a proposal for a motion to be made that we take this month to review and look over that agreement that was signed among the sheriff and ICE back on June 23rd. I think we need to take a look at it. I think we need to make some decisions whether we want to change it. Maybe we don't want to change it. But there's three reasons behind it. Number one, the first reason is after last week, to me, it was pretty obvious the people of Steuben County do not want any agreement with ICE. And of all the complaints I heard last week regarding the agreement for the pay increase per prisoner, I always kept hearing the same, you guys snuck that agreement in back in June. So it was put on that morning, special committee meeting. We passed it, went to the legislator, passed it. So people are still pretty angry with that. So, but my feeling, strictly my feeling, my opinion is Steuben County does not want any dealings with ICE. Number two, the second reason is our governor is currently proposing legislation to make it illegal for law enforcement to be trained by ICE. That legislation is probably going to be passed. I don't know when. But she has some legislation that she's going to push to make that a law in New York State. My third reason why we need to review this agreement is because the agreement or the MOA to be trained, you know, for our sheriff and deputies to be trained by ICE, it's worthless. It's a worthless agreement. And I think Sheriff Allard said it best. They want to come into our county. They're going to come into our county. And there's not a piece of paper we're going to sign or not sign or tell them they're not coming. They're coming. So really, it's an agreement that is worthless. It really doesn't do anything. So those are my reasons to bring it up. Let's review it. Let's look at it. Let's decide if there's any changes we want to make in it. Or if we want to rescind it, who knows, and put it on the agenda prior to our next legislative meeting at the end of the month. That's my proposal.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Yes, I just want to make a couple of comments to that, and I appreciate Joe Tobia for bringing that up, and I did ask him to take the lead on bringing that up to have the legislature give that some consideration. First, the agreement we passed in June did not go on at the special meeting right before the legislative meeting. We had that at public safety and we had the entire month to review it. So I just wanted to make sure that I clarified that point. Second, I think discussion regarding it is good. My personal thought on it is that the majority of people that were here speaking were from your district. And I would tell you that likely the majority of people from my district are not opposed to our association with ICE. And I feel like it's not just a matter of the fact that our deputies can train with them. It's a matter of it opens the door of communication and they communicate with the sheriff when they're going to be in our county rather than just coming in and knocking down the door. So I just wanted to make sure that as long as we're putting it all out on the table, that we put it all out on the table. But I am certainly open to the conversation because I do have a couple of other questions regarding the contract that we did just approve and some other things, but we can't discuss those because the sheriff wasn't able to be here today.
And I did run this by the sheriff. I talked to the sheriff about it, talked to Jeff about it, talked to Jack about it, talked to Kelly about it. Everyone seemed to be okay with it. You know, I talked to the sheriff after our meeting last week. I sent him a email and a voice message this weekend, but I think he was away at a conference or someplace. Yes. So I did a lot of the comments I got, the emails, the messages, the voicemails, the telephone calls, most of them were from Corning, but I did have a lot outside, you know, Hornell, Bath. I had a ton of them too, as well. I just think the sentiment out there is, you know, the way ICE is conducting themselves, it's not their purpose. I have nothing against their purpose. It's how they're going about their purpose. And I think it's turned off a lot of people in our country, I mean, in the entire country, in the world. I just think we need to take a look at it. We need to talk about it. We need to hear what the public has to say about it. And then we need to make a decision on it by the end of the month.
And I think what we can do too is we can ask the sheriff what it like, you know, if this has been in now for 7 months, what kind of interaction has there been? How many communications have you had? You know, how many times have you worked with them? You know, and get it's been long enough now that we should be able to have some data, you know, of their connections.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 7 months. Go ahead, Ms. Shannon.
I know that it could be a lot from Corning. I know I'm representing Painted Post, Irwin, Gang Mills. I got about 50 emails from my district. So it was very popular. And I wrote down who was speaking at the last meeting. And there were some from Hammondsport and from Cameron. You know, there was, so it's not just Corning. So I.
When Kelly's saying that, though, I would agree from my territories. It's the same because I did the same thing as you. I actually have a little spreadsheet. Of every person that was here that day, we had 28 from Steuben County. We had 2 from Schuyler County, 1 from Chemung. There were 10 from Corning that spoke, 4 from Irwin that spoke, 1 from Bradford, 1 from Cameron, 1 from Caton, 4 from Hammondsport, 1 from Bath, 1 from Campbell, 1 from Cohocton, and then 4 that actually never gave their town, just their name when Kelly asked them to speak where they're from. So, you know, it is, and Joe made a good comment. He has to represent his voters. All the emails and stuff that I got, I would say the majority were from Corning. So I can definitely see Joe's take on this and wanting it to be reviewed. Now, myself, most of them, all I got was from other towns, not that I represent. Emails that I received was 1 from a lady from Bradford, and she was also here speaking. But that's our thing as legislator, to represent our areas and voice our. So I totally respect Joe for bringing that up, because the Corning people is where the majority came from. But on the flip side of that, like just using Paul, we didn't have 1 person here that day from Hornell, you know, but that's what we are here to represent, our areas, and, you know, to get the feedback of our people. So yeah. Go ahead.
I think if you just made a public hearing and made it more, made people know what was going on and let people come in, maybe you get from people from Hornell, et cetera. I mean, I only got 12 emails before that. You know, half of them, 6 of them were from Thurston and Cameron. So there was a little bit of, but I just think maybe let people know a little more going on.
So we'll do that, though. Like you said, we're going to get the sheriff to get us some data, see what's going on, and we can look at what they're doing to review it.
So we can make a motion to review the MOA that was signed on June 23rd between the sheriff and...
Is that how we would do it if you want?
You could. You could make a motion. Or if you are just, if you are requesting the sheriff to come and present that information to you, you could do that without a motion. It's up to you.
Can you do anything about it now? It's signed.
Yes.
You can go back and renegotiate.
You could, if the board wanted to, you can rescind any agreement that you have, any contract that you authorize, you can also rescind.
But as far as rescinding it, I mean, I think it would be like informational first. I mean, I definitely right. wouldn't be making a motion to rescind anything at this time. So.
And you know, we could be opening a can of worms we don't want to open. I mean, you know, it could end up if we decide to make a motion to review it, which I hope we do. But come to the end of the month, the public may want to show up again and voice their concerns. And it might be both sides this time, because you're telling me that, you know, some of the people out there want to keep ICE here, and that's fine. So we may have that at the end of the month, but at least we'll hear what the people of the county want. I think it's important that if they do show up and voice their opinion, that's a good stuff. So
go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, so I would just say a lot of this is just performative. I mean, we represent 90,000 people in this county. The fact that 50 of them showed up, 28 of them spoke, does not represent a scintilla of a majority.
But I think we're going to blowing this way out of proportion. I just don't. This is not Minnesota. No, we don't have these issues here. And I understand everybody's upset what's going on in the national news. And nobody wants that here. And it's not happening here. So I just think it's a waste of time of frankly the sheriff and the complete legislature.
I think people are scared.
People in Corning are scared.
They're very frightened about it.
And I don't know why. Why? For what?
Well, everything you're seeing.
What's happened in Corning?
Pardon?
What's happened in Corning?
What do you mean, what's happening in Corning? ICE is
scared of ICE in Corning.
But we need to prepare ourselves if they should come in.
Oh, come on.
How do you even know if
they're... That's something I believe. I mean,
they have picked up 700,000 people across the country.
Many of them innocent. Many of them...
No issue. Because they go to the prisons and the jails, they get the detainers, and they pick them up. But there are some states, like this one...
75% of the illegal immigrants they're picking up have no jail record. And many people are being picked up that are citizens, shouldn't even be picked up. And the way they are pursuing some of these, I mean, you've seen the tapes, pepper sprays in the face because they're standing there with a sign. I mean, we've seen it. We don't want them here.
They're not coming here.
Yeah. We want to send a message.
We don't even have don't come for them to come here.
We want to let them know we don't want them here. And that's,
hey, that's
I
what
think.
Saying.
I think that's what our people want.
Thank you for the performance. Now let's get on with the meeting. That's the motion. Make the motion.
I know my district, a lot of people were under the perception, I guess, that we were building a detention center.
Yeah, it's all
a lot of false information.
People that contact.
There's so many constitutional rights being.
We thought you're building detention center. I said, no, we're not building detention right. center. But yeah, you got to have the sheriff involved between us. It's public safety to have the sheriff involved.
Look, I'll honor whatever we decide. I mean, I've stated my case. We've all stated our case. And so if we review it, nothing changes. Nothing changes. That's fine. That's up to the legislature. So.
Basically, I don't have a problem getting the sheriff to let us know how many interactions he's had since we had this contract in place. I don't have a problem with that. I think Joe's making a motion to make it into an actual motion. If there's a second on that. If not, we'll just go with getting information.
So my motion is for it to review.
Yep. And that's what I'm looking for, a second, if there is one. All right, so there's no second, but what I will do as the chair is I'm going to ask the sheriff to get us data on what, you know, any actions that they've had since June, and I will follow up with the sheriff when he's here next month with that information. Go ahead, Kelly.
Could you also ask, I would like to see a list of how many federal inmates we have and what agency placed them with us?
All right. I know when I talked to him before, I think he had told me that there was only four.
Yeah.
at this time, but I don't know what agencies or where they're from, but I am.
We could get a, I'm guessing we could get a 2025 report.
Yep.
And for the year.
And I don't remember. I don't know if it was Kelly that asked me this or somebody, maybe it's, I don't, somebody had asked me if they have like a data chart at all times of what we have in there. And, you know, maybe we can start getting a report like every 3 months on how many federal inmates there are. I mean, not only like Kelly says, what agencies, but it's also nice for us to know budget time.
Yeah.
If you have 20 of them in there, that's a pretty good chunk of change. When you've got four, the dollar value to our budget is much less. So, I mean, that's something for finance to know too. It'll help us.
And they also track, I've talked to the sheriff, they track how many are state placements that the state doesn't pay us for like the feds do, but how many are state ready but haven't been moved that we are responsible for. So I know they do break it down.
Go ahead, Justin.
Just kind of clarification. Are we kind of merging both topics into one, getting info? Because originally Mr. Tobia brought up the summer review. Are we also going to review what we just passed last week? Review?
No.
Kind of. Because you're talking about inmates now, and the original summer is talking about working and training. So what info are we really clarifying on?
As far as getting from the sheriff?
Right.
I'm going to get both items. I'll get the total of federal inmates and what agency's putting them in there. And then I'll find out, you know, if
more specific of what June's
on data that he has, basically any data that contract in June has allowed him to do or actions it's created.
Okay. Thanks.
Can you review that with us at the next public safety?
Yeah, I'll let everyone know what, and more than likely the sheriff will even be here at that meeting. He is, like you said, you tried to get a hold of him. He is at a conference.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to be back middle of the week because I know they have a staff meeting at the jail on Thursday. So, all right. Is there anything else for open session of public safety?
Well, just an FYI, he is meeting with the DEA administrator who heads the DEA in our country, the sheriff, and that is Terry Cole from Corning. Huh. He's Thai boy. So, but he's meeting with him. That's one of the things he's, anyways.
Okay. All right. So you had made a motion earlier, Fred, for executive session. Does that still stand? Do we have a second?
Yes.
That's for personnel. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries. We're in executive session for personnel. Is there anything else? Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.